Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Cellular Wellness Solution. Tap into your full health potential with the science-backed power of herbs by Bill Rawls, MD. Narrated by Derek Scholes. Publisher's note. This audiobook includes bonus material. Please visit tantor.com and type The Cellular Wellness Solution into the search box. Follow the link to the book's page. Then, under the supplemental content section, please enter the access code PATHWAY, PATHWAY, and then click the unlock button to access the bonus material. The code should be entered in all lowercase letters. All diagrams referenced in this audiobook can be found in the bonus material. As the author of The Cellular Wellness Solution, Dr. Bill Rawls does not provide this material in his capacity as a licensed medical doctor. The information in this book should not be considered medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or a substitute for the professional judgment of a qualified healthcare professional. All information provided in this book is solely for informational and educational purposes only. Your reliance upon any information provided in this book, including the use of any herbs, other botanicals, or other treatments, is solely at your own risk. Please consult a physician or other healthcare professional for advice regarding any medical condition or treatment thereof. Foreword by Joe and Terry Graydon. We have long been fascinated by natural approaches to healing. After all, Joe's grandfather was a pharmacist who practiced at the turn of the 20th century. Many of the medicines he dispensed were herbal products he had compounded. By the time we attended graduate school, however, botanical remedies had fallen out of favor in mainstream medicine. Instead, doctors embraced drugs developed by the pharmaceutical industry and marketed as the primary way to address disease or illness. Unfortunately, they don't always work as well as patients expect. Perhaps we need a new paradigm for enjoying optimal health. Over the last 40 years, we have had the honor of interviewing hundreds of health experts on our nationally syndicated public radio program, The People's Pharmacy. Scientists who study diet and nutrition, infectious disease experts, exercise physiologists, microbiologists, ecologists, and those knowledgeable in herbal medicine have all offered us insights. We have learned a great deal about the microbiome and its relationship to health and disease. Hopefully, so have our listeners. The insights we have gleaned on chronic health conditions from Dr. Bill Rawls and other experts have been valuable. Now, Dr. Rawls has integrated all of these fields into an accessible guide to using herbal medicines to achieve optimal health. He has pulled together all of the critical factors that lead to chronic illness with a focus we have not encountered elsewhere. Better yet, he tells readers how to prevent, avoid, or treat those causes. The discussion of intracellular infections you will hear about helps explain how infectious agents cause so much confusion, controversy, and challenge. Dr. Rawls helped us understand how the interactions between our immune systems and the microbes we live with can contribute to chronic conditions. But he also describes how we can support cellular wellness with herbal medicines. A lot of writers pay lip service to the idea of identifying the underlying cause of illness, but relatively few offer a path to achieving and maintaining wellness. Dr. Rawls' own experience as a patient, as well as a healer, informs his approach to overcoming chronic conditions such as those associated with Borrelia, Chlamydia, or Bartonella microbes. He knows well about the challenges and possibilities. Millions of people now suffering from long COVID pose a mystery to the medical profession, which has very little to offer them to aid recovery. Many of the principles that Dr. Rawls lays out in this book may have value for long haulers, although those studies are yet to be done. The Cellular Wellness Solution is well-researched, supported by scientific evidence, and written clearly without jargon. While it will satisfy those who demand scientific underpinnings for recommendations, readers who have not studied chemistry, biology, or pharmacology will not find it too challenging. Each chapter concludes with a helpful summary of the points covered. Dr. Rawls' guidelines are straightforward, and he provides readers with the criteria to judge which everyday herbs or antimicrobial herbs might be most beneficial for their use. His argument for utilizing herbs to cultivate wellness at the cellular level is clear, and his descriptions of the specific herbs he recommends are extremely helpful. We are confident that you will find The Cellular Wellness Solution to be a most valuable addition to your health library, so that you too can chart a path to cellular wellness. Joe and Terry Graydon, hosts of the nationally syndicated public radio program, The People's Pharmacy. Introduction. The first wealth is health. Ralph Waldo Emerson, American philosopher, 1860. This well-known quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson is so powerful and true. Whether you are rich or poor, sick or in perfect health, the importance of wellness unifies us all. It is the foundation on which we build our lives and pursue our passions. Good health is precious, perhaps more important than anything else in life. We all want to feel smarter about our health and empowered to make healthy decisions. Yet wellness is surprisingly fragile and easily lost. Reflexively, most people turn to the healthcare system to keep them well. But as a physician for over 30 years, I've come to appreciate that it's asking the system for more than it was designed for. Our healthcare system evolved to treat illness and injury, not to maintain wellness. An insider's look at healthcare. I grew up in a medical family. Relatives in three generations before me devoted their lives to compassionately treating the sick. Both my maternal grandfather and my father were physicians, so no matter if I was at home or visiting my grandparents, conversation flowed about patients and diseases. As a child, I heard and reheard family lore of both triumphs and tragedies. One oft-told story was about my great-grandfather, a horse and buggy doctor in the early 1900s. He raced out one night and saved a little girl's life by performing an emergency appendectomy on the family's kitchen table. He came home and died that same night of a heart condition assumed to be related to rheumatic heart disease, a heart condition that can occur after untreated strep throat or scarlet fever. Sadly, those were infections for which the medical system of that time had nothing to offer. A generation later, my grandfather served as a general practitioner in a small North Carolina town. When I became old enough, I sometimes got to tag along with Granddad when he went on house calls. Tucked into his black bag were surgical tools to alleviate a range of acute maladies, such as boils, lacerations, and broken limbs. When childbirth was stalled, he had forceps to assist the delivery. His black bag also held pills and injectable drugs to ease the pain of injury in childbirth. Among those vials, he carried a new weapon against illness that my great-grandfather didn't have. Penicillin. That gave my grandfather the ability to treat strep throat, which could have prevented the rheumatic heart disease that had likely taken his father's life. For chronic illnesses, however, Granddad didn't have much to offer. On those home visits, I remember meeting some people who were sickly with some unidentified chronic illness, but there wasn't much in the black bag for them. Of course, my grandfather would offer compassion and any medications he had to ease the symptoms, but nothing that was curative. My father entered the medical profession in the late 1960s. It was a time that many considered to be the heyday of modern medicine. Synthetic antibiotics and new vaccines had dramatically lessened the risk of the life-threatening infectious diseases that had plagued humankind for centuries, at least in developed countries that could afford these new cures. An ongoing explosion of new drug therapies and surgical technologies offered novel options for ailments once considered untreatable, such as epilepsy and mental illnesses. But it also came with a false sense of security that the medical system could cure all diseases. By the time I was in medical training in the 1980s, the world was changing. Despite all the medical advances of the 20th century, the incidences of chronic illnesses, such as heart disease, diabetes, autoimmune disease, and cancer, were rising steadily. Chronic illness remained an enigma for which medical science didn't have good answers, and still doesn't. People who become chronically ill typically never get well and require medical therapy for the remainder of their lives. Yet each year they become sicker and more dependent on the medical system. It was one of the factors that led me to specialize in obstetrics and gynecology, OBGYN. Of all the medical specialties, OBGYN had the least involvement with long-term management of chronic illness. Most of the patients were young and healthy. When patients did become ill, the treatments were straightforward, and the patients typically got well. Besides that, nothing quite matched the feeling of bringing a baby into the world. A long career practicing OBGYN wasn't to be, however. Fate had other ideas for me. Right at the peak of my career, my life was completely disrupted by what I feared most, a personal encounter with chronic illness. Realizing limitations of the healthcare system. I wasn't alone in that experience. In 2005, around the time of my struggle, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, stated that 44% of the American population was stricken with some type of incurable chronic illness requiring ongoing medical management. As of 2020, that figure had risen beyond the 50% mark. Of course, no one intends to become ill. You may be 50 and feeling just fine, but statistics say that as you age, and we all want to live longer, you're likely to tack on a diagnosis or two. In fact, by age 65, well over 80% of the population takes at least one prescription drug, and half of those people take more than four prescriptions. In the modern world, getting older has become synonymous with taking medications and becoming dependent on the medical system. Management of chronic illness is quite costly. 90% of our healthcare budget goes to treat the chronically ill. Shockingly, the U.S. spends more on healthcare than any country on Earth, yet we rank poorly compared to other developed countries in terms of wellness and life expectancy. Even more alarming is the fact that drugs appear to be part of the problem. In an article published in 2013 by Harvard's Center for Ethics, Donald W. Light, Ph.D., related that properly prescribed drugs account for about 1.9 million hospitalizations per year and 128,000 deaths per year. That makes drug therapy the fourth leading cause of death in the United States. Losing my own health put me in an odd position. Being an insider, I knew how the medical system worked. If I chose to stay loyal to my medical roots, I could foresee living in a compromised state and becoming dependent on the medical system for the rest of my life. My medical expenses would go up every year, yet my health was sure to worsen. Charting a pathway to wellness. Instead, I chose to search for a different pathway. It wasn't easy. It required rethinking everything I had learned and opening up to possibilities beyond conventional medical therapies. Ultimately, that allowed me to do something that few people struggling with chronic illness are ever able to do. I regained wellness. My search led me to explore wellness down to the cellular level. The human body is a complex collection of living cells. If you feel well, it's because your cells are healthy and fully functional. However, the opposite is true if you're chronically ill. As such, the key to staying well at any age is keeping your cells healthy. In that regard, the most surprising discovery of my journey was herbal therapy. Whereas drugs had held my illness in place, herbs were a key factor in boosting my health beyond chronic illness and back to wellness. After such a remarkable experience, I became intrigued. How could herbs have made such a difference? Searching for and ultimately finding the answers changed my life and career forever. Recovering my health enabled me to start a new chapter in my career as a physician. Applying the same principles that I used in my recovery, I've been able to help thousands of people recapture wellness. Importantly, it always centers around empowering people to be proactive about their own health. The experience of helping others served as the foundation for writing this book. The pathway detailed in these chapters provides everything you need to unlock your full potential for wellness. Whether you're struggling with chronic symptoms or just wanting to live free of symptoms as you age, you can benefit. The information applies to any age and any level of health. I consider herbs to be a critical part of the health equation. No matter what you've thought about herbs before, I invite you to consider them with an open mind. Though humans have been using herbs for thousands of years, it's only been within the past few decades that scientists have started unraveling how they actually work. What they've found provides an important key to achieving wellness at the cellular level. It is this new way of thinking about herbs that I want to share with you. In regards to our society's approach to health and healthcare, we're due for a paradigm shift. The healthcare system offers a lot of good that shouldn't be ignored. Routine screening for diseases at an early stage, such as colon cancer, has saved millions of lives. In early stages of illness, medical therapies can be very important for reducing symptoms and stabilizing progression of illness. And we would all be at a loss without modern anesthesia and innovative surgical technologies. Medical therapies, however, have little capacity to prevent illness from happening or restore wellness once it's lost. That part is up to us. We each have a responsibility to take care of our own health. When people become proactive about their health, reliance on the healthcare system typically lessens. If we do this as a society, the system is allowed to function as it was originally intended, to be there for things we can't control or predict. All it takes is enough people making simple changes to have an impact. My goal with this book is to provide a pathway that makes it possible. Getting the best use of this book. This book will provide the information you need to take charge of your health. This isn't the kind of information you'll typically find in a doctor's office. It's about cultivating wellness as opposed to treating illness. The book is divided into four primary parts for easy use. Part 1, Unlocking Wellness. In the first three chapters, you'll learn an elegantly simple model for understanding why chronic illnesses, including cancers, occur, and what you can do to avoid those outcomes as you age. At the core of this explanation is an understanding of wellness at the cellular level and the surprising role that microbes play in accelerating illness and aging. We will then explore the crucial role that plant chemicals play in protecting health at the cellular level and why our modern lifestyles are missing this key protection. Part 2. Embracing Herbs. This section provides everything you need to know to make herbs part of your life. I'll teach you the science behind herbal therapy and what matters regarding safety and efficacy. This section will serve as your complete guide to understanding herbs and getting started. Part 3. Staying Well and Living Well. This section of this book presents the lifestyle model that I follow myself and have used with patients for many years. In these chapters, I detail health habits that set the foundation for vibrant health. My goal with this section of the book is to present simple lifestyle practices that you can immediately begin incorporating into your life. The plan presented in this section is customizable and is not an all-or-nothing approach. I encourage you to take what works for you. Even small changes can make a big difference, and often that's the approach that sticks long-term. Part 4. Problem Solving. This last section of the book offers targeted guidance for specific health areas, such as cardiovascular health or joint support. It includes recommendations for additional supplement and lifestyle support that can be layered on top of the foundational plan recommended in Parts 2 and 3. I invite you to skip around this section to find the topics that are most pertinent to you. Change starts with you. No matter your current health status, you can always reach for and gain a higher level of health. This book is designed to empower you to make the simple changes necessary to ensure lasting wellness throughout your life. For additional tools, charts, and other resources to print, share, and reference the health approaches covered in this book, visit cellularwellness.com/extras. Part 1. Unlocking Wellness. In the first part of this four-part book, we'll explore the concepts that define cellular wellness. You'll get an idea of where you are along the wellness-illness continuum and how the choices you make as you go through life impact your risk of developing disease. You'll also learn the powerful, science-based ways that plants and, specifically, herbs can offer protection for our health. But unlike me, you don't have to wait until a health crisis happens to reap the benefits. These concepts are the foundation for staying well throughout your life. Here's what you'll learn in Part 1. The Spectrum Between Wellness and Illness. What your symptoms say about the health of your cells. 5 stress factors that set the stage for chronic illness and cancer. The role that microbes play in illness. Aging and its impact on wellness. How herbs are your pathway to wellness. The powerhouse properties of plant phytochemicals. How phytochemicals have gone missing from food plants. Chapter 1. From Health Crisis to Life-Changing Discovery. Lying on the beach with my chest heaving and struggling to catch my breath, I wondered if my life was about to end. I was only 47. It had been a classic summer day on the North Carolina coast with perfect waves for surfing. I'd been struggling with health issues and knew my body wasn't up to it, but I just had to get out there. Vigorous exercise, preferably out on the water, had always been how I dealt with stress. After riding only a couple waves, however, my heart was beating so erratically and my body ached so intensely that I had to make my way back to the beach. After reaching the shore, I flopped down on the sand to recover. Looking back on how I came to that moment of crisis, I can see that it had been building for years. When I was in my 30s, I could get away with not sleeping, eating on the run, and working under stress. Juggling a busy job, raising a family, and making the most out of every hour I wasn't working, I thought I could do it all. I prided myself in my ability to bounce back after being up all night delivering babies. But being an obstetrician-gynecologist, OBGYN, came with a tremendous amount of stress and a rigorous night call schedule that left me sleep-deprived much of the time. As I moved beyond my 30s, my ability to bounce back began to fade. Symptoms had started creeping in. Reflux, weight gain, mild joint discomfort, loss of stamina. But life was too busy to do anything about it. As long as over-the-counter medications eased the discomfort, I kept right on pushing through. I think most people can relate to this scenario. We all experience symptoms, but as long as they don't interfere with normal life, we tend to be complacent about them. After all, dealing with symptoms is sometimes more inconvenient and more uncomfortable than putting up with them. So, I put up with them, but the symptoms kept accumulating. When routine checkups at my doctor's office showed that my blood pressure was going up, along with my cholesterol and blood sugar, I couldn't ignore that my health was changing. My doctor prescribed medications to control these issues. However, there was no discussion about what might be causing these abnormalities or if they could be reversed. In our society, accumulating chronic symptoms is accepted as a normal part of aging. Had I known then what I know now, I might have made simple adjustments that could have saved me a lot of misery. However, I hadn't been trained to think that way. Medical school specifically prepared me to diagnose and treat established illness. There was little emphasis on prevention of illness and even less on restoring wellness. As I entered my mid-40s, my health kept slipping. I started having days where I woke up feeling like I had the flu. Life became dominated by working around chronic body aches, fatigue, brain fog, heart palpitations, and intestinal dysfunction. My stamina was at rock bottom. My knees and hips sometimes hurt so badly that it was uncomfortable to walk. Worst of all, I had lost the ability to sleep normally. Gradually, my condition deteriorated to the point that I couldn't take night call. It became hard to plan for the future because I wasn't sure what my health would be like. Visits to doctors' offices became like a revolving door. My internist ran the appropriate tests and diagnostic protocols, but they were all negative. The only exception was that my thyroid function was slightly off, but taking thyroid hormone replacement did nothing to improve my symptoms. Referrals to various specialists also failed to turn up a reason for my malaise. All they had to offer were more tests, followed by more prescriptions. That day on the beach, everything came to a head. Once I caught my breath, I composed myself enough to drive to the emergency room. There, an EKG showed mild ischemia, a condition in which the heart muscle was being deprived of oxygen. But it was chronic, not acute. In other words, I wasn't having a heart attack. My doctor arranged a consultation with a cardiologist, who scheduled a cardiac catheterization. That procedure showed that my coronary vessels were clear. The doctor had no explanation for why my heart was beating so erratically or why I was having chest pain. All he had to offer was a prescription for a medication to block the abnormal heartbeats, another prescription to add to my growing list. For several years after that, I remained trapped, dependent on the medical system, but not being helped by it either. Being an insider in the medical profession, I knew my experience wasn't unique. A large portion of people who are chronically ill remain undiagnosed. In other words, they don't check all the boxes for any specific diagnosis. It's because symptoms of different chronic illnesses tend to overlap, and lab tests aren't always reliable or specific. This leaves patients in a situation of endlessly searching for the right diagnosis. It's a real handicap in the healthcare system. Without a firm diagnosis, patients remain untreated. Even when a definitive diagnosis is made, the capacity of the medical system to restore someone struggling with chronic illness back to normal health is often limited. For most chronic illnesses, medical therapies have the capacity to artificially inhibit dysfunctional processes associated with the illness, but little more. While this can reduce symptoms and slow progression of the illness, the chances of the patient being restored to a normal state of wellness are small. The most a patient can hope for is a never-ending state of chronic illness managed with drug therapy. As the body continues to break down with advancing age, an ever-deepening state of dependence on medical therapies is inevitable. A unique exception where cures for chronic illnesses routinely happen is with cancer therapy. Due to modern innovations in cancer therapy, the death rate for all cancers has dropped significantly in the past several decades. The problem is that little has been done to prevent cancer, and more people are getting cancer than ever before. And despite being given the all clear, anyone who has had cancer knows that the risk of recurrence or new cancers popping up is always there. Searching for answers. Being trapped in a state of managed illness wasn't how I wanted to spend the rest of my life. Somehow, I knew there must be a solution, and I was determined to find it. My goal was regaining wellness, yet to move forward, I had to define exactly what that meant. For most of us, wellness is about being able to interact with other people, work, travel, have relationships, pursue passions, and remain productive. The definition also includes enjoying mental clarity and sharpness, not being limited by pain or physical restrictions, maintaining general contentment and happiness, and being able to care for yourself, especially with advancing age. From a medical standpoint, wellness is mostly about minimizing symptoms. However, as I found out, that's more about treating illness than restoring wellness. The two aren't necessarily one and the same. Wellness and illness are mere opposites of one another. The area between the two, however, isn't distinct. It's more like a continuum. At one end of the spectrum, you might find a 20-year-old athlete in top condition. At the other end might be a person in a desperate struggle with an autoimmune illness or cancer. Most of us fall somewhere in between and gradually move through life from the wellness end of the spectrum to the illness end. I've been at both ends of the spectrum, both personally and professionally. The first half of my career was focused on treating illness, primarily with drugs and surgery. Although I was able to help a lot of people and am proud of my work during that phase, retrospectively, there was very little emphasis on preventing illness from happening. Problems weren't addressed until they occurred. Ironically, the demands of my career promoted a lifestyle that was anything but healthful. Thus, while I was dutifully stamping out illness, I became ill myself. I joined the millions of Americans whose lives are compromised by chronic illness. That phase of my career ended when my condition deteriorated to the point of not being able to take night call. That left me with no choice but to give up my position in the OBGYN practice group I was in. Phase two of my career started when I opened a solo practice in gynecology and primary care. Not having the burden of obstetrics call gave me the freedom I needed to work on improving my health. Little did I know how much my life and career would change in the years that followed. The wellness spectrum. I knew there must be a way to break free from being ill and regain wellness, but I wasn't getting there with anything my conventional training had to offer. It was time to go back to the drawing board, literally. I took out a sheet of 8.5 by 11 paper and turned it sideways. On the left side of the paper, I wrote the word wellness. On the right side, I wrote the word illness. I drew two straight lines in parallel across the middle of the page, one with an arrow at the end pointing toward wellness, and the other with an arrow pointing toward illness. At the top of the page, I wrote, factors that promote wellness. At the bottom, I wrote, factors that promote illness. Over subsequent months and years of intense research and study, I filled that paper full of information. It became my roadmap to wellness. It also gave me hope because it provided an alternative to simply suppressing symptoms with drugs. Create your own roadmap to wellness. For a printable, blank version of the wellness spectrum chart that you fill in yourself, visit cellularwellness.com/extras.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?